This morning, I want to take time with a message that I believe this is a message that you'll be able to use over and over and over again in your life, going through situations that we all go through. Every person that cares about how they feel towards everyday life and how sometimes everyday life becomes confusing and hard to handle. So if you turn your Bibles over there to Matthew 17 and 20, I want to start with the message entitled, Are You a Mountain Mover? Are you a mountain mover? And we're going to read, actually I want to go ahead and just kind of look at all the scripture. And let me read to you what the Bible is declaring here. And when they came to the crowd, a man came to him and knelt before him, saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is an epileptic, and he suffers terribly. He often falls into the fire and is often in the water. I brought him to your disciples, but they could not heal him. Then Jesus answered, faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him here to me. Jesus rebuked the demon, and he came out of him, and the child was healed instantly. Then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, why could we not cast him out? Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief. For truly I say to you, if you have faith as a grain of a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. But this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting. Father, I pray today that as I begin this message, that you open the hearts of everyone that's hearing and everyone that is part of viewing this message today, that they will hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. And I give you praise right now, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to focus on verse 20. Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief, for truly I say to you, if you have faith as a grain of a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. And really, what's going on here is Jesus, Peter, James, and John just came back from an experience that we read about in the Word of God, the Mount of Transfiguration. They just came down. They were at the base of that mountain. And literally, he is speaking to them in a private way, but yet when he calls this generation to be a disbelieving generation, unfaithful generation and a perverse generation. The word perverse is really leaning towards immorality. But he's speaking to his disciples because they met the 9 disciples down there. So they're all together now, Jesus and all 12 of them. And they're asking, what can I do here? You see, Luke 9:37 says, the next day when they came down from the mountain, a great crowd met him. And so just think about that for a moment. The Mount of Transfiguration, where Jesus, Elijah, and Moses was there, and God speaks from heaven. And Peter, James, and John are there witnessing all this. And now they're coming down. They're still in this moment. I mean, I would be in that moment. How about you? If all of a sudden all those people were there and God speaks, confirming again that this is my beloved son, listen to him, I am well pleased with him, I'd be in that moment all the way down the mountain. I'd be like, well, probably like Peter, shall we build an altar for each of you? Shall we just do something here? So we want to make this something that's known and a reflection. Jesus, no. We just need to move forward. You know, I'm just showing you there's this step forward that Jesus is wanting to bring them to. And they come down, and all of a sudden, he's faced with something that is surprising to him. Because literally, they should already know that. We have to pay
attention here to the statement of faith. And we also have to understand that why these disciples asked such a question. Why couldn't we drive it out? And if you understand what's going on, it's really the impotence that they had, it was jarring to them and to the real world after the mountaintop experience. It was jarring. It was like, my goodness gracious, what do you mean, why can't you do this? He literally was saying to them the inability to deal with the problem. So I want us to the platform off of that today for us. To deal with a problem that you go through, I go through every day. Sometimes people go through things, oftentimes more than others. And we find that his agitation is clear, for they lack faith. And as Christians, we are told all the time about faith. We hear the word faith. We can quote Hebrews 11:1. We can quote scriptures on faith. We can understand what it is to believe God, but when something happens in our life, we have to understand that we have authority. Just like Jesus gave authority over the demons in Matthew 10:8, when he said, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, and cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. He gave them authority. Now, Jesus gave us authority. All authority. I've given you all authority. Go ye into the world. Preaching and teaching. Telling everybody about who I am and what God can do for them and what the Holy Spirit will do for them. I mean, really, I'm just paraphrasing and extending that out for it's easier for us to grasp all of a sudden this morning. Because we are daily faced with things, and you know, we see this thin line being drawn between the crowds that were there to meet him, the throngs of people that you realize that Jesus never was alone unless he escaped and no one knew where he was. Throngs of people were following him. Throngs of people. This was brand new to Israel. Jesus showed up. The Son of God, the only begotten Son of God, showed up in Israel. Miracles were happening. The dead were being raised. The blind were seeing. The halt were walking. The paralytic was taking up his mat and going home. The deaf were hearing. The mute was speaking. There was miracles. He was preaching something that was a kingdom principle. It wasn't an Old Testament, this is God, this is the rule, this is how you have to live. He knew that what he was preaching was a kingdom principle. In other words, I have come, and what I'm going to tell you is how to live. Because even though the law and the prophets, everything hangs on that, I'm going to tell you to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor even as you love yourself. Upon these two commandments, hang the law. I'm going to tell you kingdom principles to live by. You have authority over demons. You have authority over sickness. You have authority over things that are coming at you to try to cripple you, to try to paralyze you, to try to get you speechless, to try to get you blind to who I am, to try to get you to a place where you don't even hear the word when it's preached because you're so bound up. Because you have to understand here. And how I can look at this so keenly today is that you can notice that Matthew didn't really focus on the miracle. He focused on the faithlessness of the disciples. He didn't focus on, you know, this miracle, what it was for this young boy to be healed, to come out of the fire, and his body was made whole, and he was normal. He wasn't being twisted and torn. He didn't focus on how Jesus could read what was going on right there and knew exactly what it was and cast the devil out. He focused on their disbelief. And I believe Jesus focuses on our lives in that area sometimes. When we have heard the word, when we have read the Bible, when we have studied the Bible, when we have even spoken the Bible in a Bible study class, when we have been able to pray for somebody, when we have had such great faith that all of a sudden something comes and we find that they fail because they had little faith. They didn't have a faith to overcome. And he compares them to this mustard seed. And the mustard seed is very tiny. It's hard to even understand that something that small could grow into something that big that the birds could come and build nests and have families there. Huge that tree becomes out of one tiny little seed. And what he's saying, if you would have this little faith, you see, he's not saying you have to have great faith to do this. But you have to have the faith of a mustard seed. You have to understand that this little faith that you do have is growing in you. It's coming towards you. It's becoming part of your life. It's giving you the ability to say to circumstances, I'm not afraid. To say to disturbing matters that come into your life, God's going to take care of me. The things that I don't understand, God understands. I'm going to stay faithful to God's word. I'm going to be there. But they were more bountiful in doubt, which is a seedbed for fear. Doubt is a seedbed for fear. When we begin to doubt God's word, when we begin to question his authority, when we begin to think that God really doesn't care, or we listen to the lies of the devil by saying, don't trouble God, this is too small for him to deal with. God deals, now listen to this next statement, God deals with you on your level of thinking, not on his level. Because he knows that we don't see tomorrow. As a matter of fact, we have no idea how this day will end. He does. He knows exactly what our future is. He has ordered the steps of the righteous people. He has ordered the steps of your life. He has set a destiny for you. He has offered you hope and blessings, protection, guidance, and authority over the evilness of this world. But when you begin to saturate your mind with human doubt, you know, the phone call that comes and all of a sudden you forget about God and fear takes over. When something goes on at the place of employment, you all of a sudden go into trembling fear and you don't think about having faith. Just a little mustard seed. Think about it. Just that little tiny mustard seed of faith would have cast out this demon out of them. The enemy of our soul and the enemy of their soul was very, very much trying to stop Jesus. By working on those disciples, they couldn't even tell whether it was sickness or demonic. The father said he had epilepsy. But Jesus didn't say, I cure you of epilepsy right now. He looked at that young boy and said, I cast that demon out. Because he knew what he was looking at. You see, when you have faith in God and not fear of God and reverential, but fear of God like you don't think he thinks about you or you don't think he can handle this because it's too small. Let me tell you something. You have to understand when you have faith in God, he reveals things to you that you'll know what is of sickness and what is of the devil. He'll show you things in your life. He will show you great and mighty things. The Bible declares that. That's what the Holy Spirit came to do. To show you things. To testify of the truth. You know, he'll come into your life and begin to lead you down a road where there is no room for fear. We have to have faith. A trusting faith in a living God. And I think it's wonderful that we understand this. He says in the verses there, in verse 20, he ends it by saying, nothing will be impossible for you. Nothing. Now, last time I looked up the word nothing, it meant nothing. Nothing will be impossible for you. So if you would get that mindset today, and you would start to realize that these things that happen in your life can cause you to be wonderful if you have faith in God, can cause you to be victorious if you have faith in God, can cause you to walk through life in victory, but their unbelief and cause them to have a lack of devotion. They weren't praying or fasting because they didn't believe. They had an unbelief. That's why. They were trying to do all this stuff, but they didn't really believe that it could happen. You know, see, we go through actions in our Christian walk, but I want to ask you a question. Are you a mountain mover or a mountain builder? You see, we go through life knowing that things happen. So in other words, fearful versus faithful, or fear versus faith, is the huge concept here. Fear wars against faith. Fear causes spiritual blindness, number one. In our life, we find ourselves blinded by fear. As a pastor, I get plenty of phone calls. Pastor, I don't know what to do. I'm really afraid of this. Let me tell you something. Don't let fear dictate to your life. God has never and will never give up on you. He never leaves you nor forsakes you. He blesses you. He keeps you. He surrounds you with angels of strength and valor. He's the shield about you and the lifter of your head. He is the shield over and around his anointed. You abide underneath the shadow of the pinions of his wings. 1,000 shall fall to your left, 10,000 shall fall to your right. No evil shall befall you, no plague will come near your dwelling. His name is like a high tower, and the righteous run to it and find safety. You can cry out, take me to the rock that's much higher than I. He realizes that even when you're in the valley, that he is going to take you through the valley of the shadow of death. And when you come through, he's going to feed you dinner. He's there with you. He's never leaves you. And if you look over your shoulder, you'll see goodness and mercy following you all the days of your life. If you realize that he pulled you out of the miry clay and he put you on a sure foundation, on a rock, and he put a new song in your heart. He established your goings. He's the same God that you pray to, this who is exceedingly abundantly more than able to do all that we ask or think according to the power that works within us. He's the same God that began a work in you, and he'll conform it until the day of the Lord. He will never stop conforming you, performing in you, and detailing you till that great day. And we should have enough faith to realize that what we have given unto him, he is able to keep until the great day of the Lord. We should be persuaded of his presence. We should be thankful for his presence. We should acknowledge his presence all the time in our life. So don't allow fear to blind you. Don't allow fear to paralyze you. Don't allow fear to come into your life to where you just discontinue praising God because you're too afraid. Because all you can think about is the outcome of this difficulty. What's God say about the difficulty? God says he'll set you free. God said he can take care of anything. The Bible declares, is there anything too hard for the Lord? No. And the Bible declares that God, who cannot lie, he cannot lie. And if he said he's going to bless you, friend, he's going to bless you. If he said he's going to protect you, he's going to protect you. If he says you're in the palm of God's hand and no one can pluck you out, guess what? That means no one can pluck you out. You can even be like the Israelites hanging behind the rocks, hiding from the Philistine Goliath, or you can be this young person, David, coming up and saying, you know what? He's not that big, because the God I serve is much bigger than him. And he may say what he wants about me. I don't really care, because he's really not offending me. He's offending the God that I serve. And watch what will happen. If you have faith, you'll take down that challenge in front of you, and you will be free in Jesus' name. Amen. You see, what we have to understand that is so important, faith causes you to have power to build mountains. That difficulty grows every day. It gets bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger before you're overwhelmed with it. Then that's all you can do is talk about it. It grabs you. Now listen, I'm talking today about pure humanity. What happens to people that are on this earth? We get hit sometimes with things that are just crippling. Our first reaction is, oh no, how can this be? And then our next reaction is, we want to blame God. I thought you loved me. He does love you. He does love me. He loves all of us, and he will never stop loving us. When you gave your heart to the Lord, he loved you even before that. And when you gave your heart to the Lord, you became a child of God, spiritually adopted into the family of God, whereby you can cry, Abba, Father, and whereby you know that now you are a joint heir with Jesus Christ. And when he appears, you shall be like him. I mean, when you hear the word and you see that and you grab it and understand it, that there is no fear. Like when when Joshua had to face the things he had to face, he did it without fear. He did it with faith. When Jonathan and his shield bearer went up against all those Philistines, he did it because he had faith. He wasn't afraid of the Philistines. Saul and everybody else was down there. They were afraid. They didn't know what to do. All these Philistines had the top. They had the highest ground. They had to wait. If we try to climb up there, they're going to kill us. They climb up and they beat them all. I think it's wonderful. Samson, he knew God. He was anointed of God. And what happened when he grabbed anything? He grabbed a mule jaw. He set things, the foxes on fire. He did all these things. He broke down things. He had faith in God. Because he realized that no matter how big the situation looked, and no matter how deep the waters were, and no matter how rough the ocean looked, and no matter how separated the waters were from one shore to the other, God will get me through it. God will get me through it. 2.5 million people came to the shore there at the Red Sea. They were flipping out because there was the Egyptians with Pharaoh leading them, coming after them. The dust was big. They had no way out. They were freaking out. And God went to Moses went to God and said, "Hey, Father, guess what? I think maybe I took a wrong turn, and I'm being facetious there." And you know what God said to him? "Why are you praying to me? Go, lift up your staff. Lift up Jesus Christ. Lift it up towards the waters and see what I will do." Church, I think it's time that people begin to lift up Jesus Christ in their circumstances. Lift up the Lord and begin to pray and fast again and be devoted to what we need to be devoted to, and that is to the Word of God and to the love of God. Yes. Are you with me this morning? Yes. It also builds unfaithfulness. Unfaithfulness tears off to all of a sudden finding weakness in the following the commands of God. What has God commanded you and I? To go. He's commanded us to love. He's commanded us to obey his word. He's commanded these things in our life that will help us to grow in the kingdom. He has caused us to be part of his kingdom by the shed blood of Jesus Christ. If you can view it from God's place, he looks at us and he said, "You all would not have anything if it wasn't for me. And you have offended me. You have sinned against me. You have lied, you have cheated, you have robbed, you have murdered. Humanity has become perverse. But yet I have given my only begotten Son, my one and only, to suffer on this earth, to shed every drop of blood on a cross called Calvary, to bear the stripes on his back that you are healed. I have given everything. I have put an anointing upon the church. And you sit here and wonder, and they cross America, yea, wonder if I'm going to help. I have investment in you, is what God is saying. I have investment in your life, into your heart. I have healed you. I have strengthened you. I am not going to let something take you down. I am not going to let them do that. So don't be unfaithful and follow the commands. Faith causes miracles. I mean, I can preach for hours upon the miracles that I've seen by the laying on of hands, the miracles that I've seen by people walking and talking and seeing and hearing, the miracles that I can see that people were going into operating rooms and were not operated on because when they went in to look and did a scan, it wasn't there any longer. Miracle after miracle that only God couldn't do. Praise God, because God never gives up on us. Faith causes miracles. Fear does not. Faith causes miracles. Secondly, faith causes dreams to be answered. Do you have a dream today? Do you have a dream that God has given you? Dream it. Dream it. Well, it hasn't happened yet. Keep dreaming. Have faith. Trust it. And then also, faith causes hope to be complete. What you hope for comes together. And what you hope for will happen. And what you hope for will bring together in your life something great and something beautiful. And then faith brings over something that we need to have. And that's overcoming difficulty and circumstances in our life. That's how we overcome it. That's how it happens. You overcome it. Do you know what? There is nobody in this room that could say, that never happened to me. We've all made mistakes. We've all made bad decisions. We've all did something that we thought we'd just do it without asking God. And it has caused negative results. Let me tell you about the Father that I serve and that you serve. Let me remind you of the great love and wisdom of God. He loves you and I. He's much greater than those mistakes, those bad decisions, and he doesn't keep himself all angry at you because you didn't call on him first. He understands who you are. He wants to show you his love. He wants to deliver you. What he wants you to have is have faith in him, not fear in the situation. Faith in him, knowing that he's going to help you. Am I helping anybody today? Faith to take you through. Faith to make you an overcomer. Faith to get you across the water. Faith that you can walk on dry land. Faith that you are there. Faith that you can find shelter in the times of a storm. Faith to where he is with you and the winds are blowing everywhere and the seas are raging and he just speaks peace over you. And there's a peace that comes upon your life. That's the Jesus that I'm speaking about today. The one that you and I serve. That's always there. He's never in the background saying, I don't have time right now. He's always there. He's always watching. He always cares for you and I in everything that we do. You see, faith means that we can trust God. Even a small, minuscule faith can trust God. Now, when he's talking about moving mountains here, you know, I remember when I first got saved and I was had an antique business and I was driving back from Ohio and I'd come on 80 and I'd have to go through Utah and Nevada, you know, and all the way across the United States. And when I came to the Utah-Nevada border, there was always this mountain that they nicknamed Mile High Mountain all the way out there. And you'd see it far off in the distance. You know, and I used to say, in the name of Jesus, move that mountain. Get out of here. You know, and it never moved. Because God's not talking about topography there. He's not talking about changing the land. It wouldn't help anything to do that. You know, God doesn't go around changing the topography of the situation or the land, moving mountains and things. What he's saying to you is a simple metaphor. If you have enough faith, that mountain that has come up against you, that mountain that's there in front of you, the enemy is causing through fear, all you do is have to speak to it with a little faith, and it's going to go. All that epileptic boy needed was someone to discern how to handle the situation, and he was healed, and his father had no more fear. His father was afraid, burning and drowning. He was worried about his son. He didn't know what to do, so he went to find some people that could help. And guess what? Even though they had the authority, they weren't praying and fasting, and they had no idea how to use that authority. And sorry to say, I think there are too many people in church across America today that have authority, but they have no idea how to use the authority in Jesus' name to have discernment to help others move forward. And even in their own life, they don't have the discernment to know that faith is going to tear that mountain down. Amen. Don't go to sleep if you can't sleep, because usually when you're so afraid you can't sleep, and you're wrestling and turning all night long and worried about what the sun's going to bring on your day tomorrow when it rises. Have faith. Go to sleep knowing that God has got your tomorrow taken care of. Right. He even says, don't worry about tomorrow. Because the things of today are evil enough. Don't worry about it. He said, I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to make sure you have enough clothes, shelter, food. I'm going to be with you. I'm going to take care of this. Don't let that mountain keep you blinded to who I am. Don't live under the shadow, in other words, of your circumstances that are negative. Start to talk positive. Start to believe God and what He has to say. Believe God's word. That's what I'm saying to you. Trust God's word. Obey God. And He is going to bless you, and you will become a mountain mover. Because we don't undertake prayer and fasting, oftentimes we don't have the strength to move a mountain in prayer, because we never do pray. I'm sorry to say that there are a lot of people in the Christian body today that just aren't praying. I mean, spending quality time in prayer, crying out to God. Our nation is in a position right now that it's living in fear. But oh, if the body of Christ would get together and cry out to God about all the things that are going on in this nation, and cry out about the things that are going on in this world, and would call down God upon these circumstances, these mountains would break up. And we would see the miraculous moving across our churches and our altars and our homes and in areas in our families whereby we need a miracle. We need a miracle. We need a miracle from God in this area of our nation today. You see, it's the proverbial smallness of a mustard seed. That's all He's calling for. Just that little faith, covered in prayer and fasting. You see, when you put that mustard seed in the ground, you got to water it with something. Prayer, trust, belief, speaking the word, and watching that mustard seed grow into something that is very powerful and very mighty and very beautiful. We have to understand a question here, and I want to ask you this question in my close today. How much faith do you have? Are you praying and are you fasting? Are you a mountain builder or a mountain mover? That's what you have to understand. Be a mountain mover, not a mountain builder. When something happens in your life, and if there's something going on in your life right now, today, this very moment as I'm speaking this, let's move it. Let's get it out of the way. Well, Pastor, this is so big. It's so harsh. It's just got my mind. Let's move it. Let's get it out of the way. Well, I've made a mistake and I don't think, you know, God can forgive me for this. The God I serve is an all-forgiving God. He just wants to hear from you. He just wants to hear from you. Amen. And he wants you not to act as a child that doesn't really care unless you get what you want. He wants you to act like a child that cares for what he has already given you. And he's given you the authority to discern. He's given you the authority to have faith. He's given you the authority to be a mountain mover. To remove the mountain out of your life. To get rid of it. To say, get out of my way, mountain. No, I'm not going to be afraid anymore. I'm going to live by faith. Fear will not paralyze me. Amen?
Amen.
Let's pray.